Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here after an insane and chaotic Week 12 in the SEC. I am Rob Williams. He is Craig McMichael. And we are, as always, proudly presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law, hdlawsc.com. We are about relationships here at SEC Sunday Night. And Hewitt Domodiros is going to bring you the best relationship that can win you money in your case if you have a personal injury or you need them for another case. Be sure to give them a call or just simply go to hdlawsc.com, ask for Brad and Dean, and tell them that you heard about them on the show. Those guys are going to create real relationships with you. You're not just a number to them. And they're gonna actually know you, and you're not just in the stack, not just in the case stack. So make sure that you call them. Check out hdlawsc.com. This is SEC Sunday Night. Craig, we're here. It was crazy yesterday. It was 1 point Saturday. I think we missed the memo. We had a 1 point weekend. In a lot of arenas, not just in the SEC. We started Friday night with a 1 point game, and then we had some real close ones yesterday in the SEC as well. As you can obviously see, Kyle Field is behind me, what I believe should be the number one ranked Texas A&M Aggies pull off the comeback
number one. Stop it!
I still got them number one. I think that they showed resilience. I think that they showed togetherness. I think that they're battle tested. I think that they pulled out an incredible and insane comeback against a very talented, albeit not winning, South Carolina football team. So I know that you have a couple of comments before we get to the joy video. I want to tee you up here for whatever you want to say. And also, let me remind you, we are doing a giveaway with SEC Pretty. You're going to see information about that in the video in just a moment.
Yeah, I just want to know, like, who's to blame this week? You know, a couple weeks ago, it was Mike Shula's fault. And then it was the offensive line coach's fault. You know, Shane was feeling pretty good at halftime. He was all fired up, whether he was celebrating with the fans or he was taunting the Aggies. What I do know, and this is what I heard this morning, is his rant after the first quarter saying, hey, we beat them by 24 last year, and how excited he was. Mike Elko played that at halftime. He just hit the play button. And, well, 19 minutes into the second half, we saw kind of what happened. So what I really want to know, is this like Stockholm syndrome? Like, do you have Texas A&M? Do you got Kyle Field up there because you are still in shock? Teams were 0 for 250,000 when they were down by 27 points. But now your Gamecocks lost. And I think what we have to talk about after joy, is it time to have a conversation about Shane Beamer? I have said it for a while. You have done a great job of defending him. I really want to have this honest conversation with you about whether or not Shane is the right guy for this job.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of conversations that need to be had at this point. I can defend him all day and night, but yesterday hurts. And we're going to get into that conversation here in just a few minutes. But before we do, for so many people that are already tuning in, and for those of you that are coming along in just a minute, we'll remind you the next segment called SEC Pretty Campus Tour is where we have Daily Joy, and she tells us about each stadium that she's visiting across the season. A little twist on the segment this week. But remember, this was Friday, so everything we're saying was before we watched the games. And the purpose of this segment is, as always, to show you all of the freezing cold takes that we had and how we thought this weekend would play out. We'll be back in just a minute to react to how things played out in Week 12. Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here, as always, on the SEC Pretty Campus Tour with the bad girl herself, Daily Joy, whose motto is, rules are meant to be broken. Tell us why that is, Joy.
Yeah, I had originally said I was never going to repeat a stadium this year. I was always going to go to a new stadium. But I'm just going to be so bluntly honest with y'all. I was dreading driving to Lexington, Kentucky to watch Kentucky-Tennessee Tech. I mean, for what purpose? And then I'm sitting here going, like, that's not even fair to Kentucky because I'm going to have a miserable time because I'm already miserable and I'm not even there yet. And they deserve to have the opportunity to create a really good experience. And so I said, screw it. I'm going where I know there will be a good experience. I'm going back to Athens for Georgia, Texas, and I'm thrilled about it. Could not have made a better decision if I tried.
What are you talking about, Joy? I mean, Kentucky's on a roll. They have a chance to get bowl eligible now, and they're playing a 10-0 Tennessee Tech team. This is going to be an incredible environment in Lexington this weekend. I think that you really missed out.
I'm fine. Let me
remind everybody that we are doing the SEC Pretty giveaway in the month of November, and so you do have a little bit of time still to get into that. Here's the QR code if you want to scan it. If you happen to be on your device and you can't scan a QR code and you're going, hey, Rob, that's stupid. How can I scan it when I'm watching you on Twitter on my phone? It's also going to be in our comments, and the link is in my bio. So all you have to do is go there, and you can enter to win. Just get a little bit of information from you, and you can enter to win a couple of different prizes from Joy and SEC Pretty. And we know that everybody wants that. I've got mine, and that's all that you need. I'm the brand ambassador that everybody wants, and so that should be enough for you guys, and you should go get yours too. And you know what? Christmas is coming up, so if you are fortunate out there, to have a significant other that maybe needs a gift. Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your sister, I don't know. But you go get it, okay? You go enter this and you win. There's four different ways to enter, and you can do all four of them. So you don't even have to just enter once. You can hit all four buttons and just follow me and Craig. Go to the website, subscribe to the YouTube page. Make sure while you're there that you comment and give us a good review. And go on over to podcast and do it there too. All right, now that I covered all of that in this video and don't have to do it in the live, Joy, there's really two games this weekend. One of them is in Athens. One of them is in Tuscaloosa. And then we have Oklahoma and Texas, who are right there on the edge, right there on the edge of getting into the college football playoff. They control their own destiny, technically. So this week, as we lift up our greatest pick of the week for the Freezing Cold Takes segment here, an opportunity for us to be right or us to be wrong, I'm just going to pose a simple question. Who is more likely to pull the upset this weekend, the Horns or the Sooners?
I'm going to go Sooners.
Wow.
I'm going to go Sooners.
Why,
now,
Julie?
You asked who's more likely, not who's 100% going to.
Right, so right, exactly. Is,
I don't think either of those teams are winning. But if I had to put my money
Black
on
Kobe.
One, I think I would put my money on Oklahoma. And that's for a couple reasons. I think you finally, and here's the deal, everyone is so up in arms about the state of LSU's athletic program and yada, 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 that no one wants to acknowledge the fact that LSU's defense actually gave Alabama fits on Saturday. No one's talked about that, which is totally fine. LSU honestly doesn't deserve to be talked about in a positive light right now. I'm not mad about that. But that did go to show that Alabama, you know, if you play good defense, like that Alabama offense does struggle. And that's just the fact of the matter. I mean, the fact that LSU's defense held Alabama to 20 points at home in Tuscaloosa is an impressive feat. And I would dare to say there that Oklahoma's defense has been better than LSU's for most of the year. So I would say if I had to take a team that could upset Alabama, it would be Oklahoma. I think the truth of the matter is that Alabama's already been beat once this season by a much lesser opponent in Florida State. And until Texas proves to me that they can beat Georgia, I'm not going to take Texas. Like, it's just...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
The truth of the matter.
All right. True to form, I'm going in the exact opposite direction. I think that Texas has a good shot. In fact, by the time this comes out, you will have already seen the screenshot of mine and Craig's texting back and forth picks of the week. But I'm going to pick Texas to win this game. I think that Arch Manning is picking up steam.
Oh, that's so funny. I said that 2 weeks ago, and you're like, on the Arch train.
That's absolutely correct. And now you've backed off. But first of all, are you excited for Athens? Last time you were in Athens, you were in the stadium with us. This time, we're going to roll up and see what happens. What SEC pretty hat are we wearing? That's really the question.
I mean, I'm going to wear a Georgia SEC pretty hat, which I tend to do if you've paid attention at all throughout the season. Like, I've always worn the hat of the home team for the most part.
Sure, but you also broke a rule by going back. So rules are meant to be broken. We can wear burnt orange. All righty. So a couple other things going on around the league that I think we need to talk about. You mentioned this off the air, and so I'm just going to have to throw it in here. What does it look like if Arkansas hires Ed Orgeron? And also, I would love to point out before I give you a chance to answer, because, you know, that's what a good host does, is just really talk over you for a long time and give you just a couple of seconds to fill in here. Hunter Yurecek is now the chair of the college football playoff committee. He's also hiring a football coach. It's also basketball season, and we know that managing Cal is always its own sport. So does he have time? There's no way he has time. This is the argument that we make every year about putting these freaking athletic directors on this college football playoff committee. There is no way they have time. They're not watching games. You can miss me with all of that. There's no shot they're watching games to the level that we are watching games, or people who are covering this and writing about it day in and day out. No shot. So, I mean, I just don't think he has time. And maybe that means he does end up with Ed Orgeron because he's just going to do what he's got to do. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it would not shock me in any way, shape, or form. The problem with that hire is that it just makes your program look as unserious as we already all think it is. I mean, the reality of the situation is, like, Ed Orgeron was a PR absolute nightmare towards the end of his tenure at LSU. That's what, like, a lot of people don't like to acknowledge, is everyone's like, they fired him 2 years after. And I'm like, if your coach had been doing the off-the-field antics that he was doing and losing games, you wouldn't have had a choice either. Like, he put LSU in an impossible situation. He does want to get back into coaching. I think Arkansas, like, culturally would probably be a pretty decent fit for him. But I just don't know how capable he is of winning whenever he's not surrounded by insane amounts of talent, i.e. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, you look back at that 2019 LSU team and you're like, I mean, Jimbo Fisher could have won a national championship with that level of talent. And, like, we all know he couldn't win anything. So I just think there is a level of distrust that I'll have for Ed Orgeron moving forward. Right.
Speaking of job openings, I'm not even going to entertain the fact that Lane Kiffin is going to Florida at this point. This game gets some hype, I guess, because that is somewhere swirling in some delusional rumor mill. But Ole Miss is 11.5-point favorites at home against the Gators, who beat them and knocked them out of the college football playoff last year. You've got a Florida team who, I would venture a guess, has pretty much quit based on what we saw last week. And you have an Ole Miss team who is growing in momentum and I think can probably taste the college football playoff and potentially an SEC championship berth at this point. 11.5. I think it's too small. What? Let's go. Let's set the line here. How many points do you think Ole Miss wins this game by? I'm just going to go on a limb and say you're going to pick the Rebels here, because I am too. So let's have a little fun in a different direction. How much does Lane Kiffin run the score up? How bad do they beat them?
I don't know. I would say maybe 14. I don't know if I'm as big. Like, I think you're thinking it's going to be like a school drugging. That's just what the vibe I'm getting from your words, which is totally fine. The fact that me and you have differing of opinions is not that shocking.
They lost by 31 to Kentucky last week and benched Lagway. So
yeah, no doubt about it. I tend to think that the scores are less like that when there is so much pressure on one particular team. Like, the reality is last week, Florida knows they're nothing, and Kentucky is, like, again, fighting for bowl eligibility, but that isn't special to Kentucky either. So neither one of those programs really had anything to lose. They're playing their loosest football. The problem is, like, Florida's just bad. Like, that's really just the reality of it. But the reality is also, on Saturday, all of the pressure is on Ole Miss to win. And sometimes when that happens, you don't always play at the height of talent that you're capable of playing at. So yeah, I think Ole Miss wins. I think Ole Miss cover. I think they win by probably 2 touchdowns, but I don't see this being as big of a skull dragging as maybe you do.
I'm going to go with something similar to last week. So I'll say like 35 to 10, but 25 points is still significant and way more than 11 and a half.
No doubt.
So I think there's a good chance that something like that happens. All right. So we've got a few nominees here for the Freezing Cold Takes of the Week. As you know, SEC Pretty has broken the rules and they're going back to Athens, which means everybody, as we approach the end of the year, we're about at the time when the rest of the country starts accusing us of being conference supporters. So if you're pulling for a team that has no shot at the conference, at the college football playoff, and you're just going to pull for the SEC, now's your chance to go get some SEC Pretty merch. If you haven't done it at this point already, it's just secpretty.com. It's that simple. Or you can maybe click the link in our comments or in my bio and try to win it for free. But I would advise maybe just do both of those. All right, Joy.
Just to be clear, Rob might not be, but I am an SEC homer. I created a brand around this conference.
I'm absolutely an SEC homer, and that's why I continue to say Texas A&M is the best team in the country. All right, okay. Have fun in Athens. We'll see you next week. Hook 'em.
This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here with you to break down the happenings of the week, and that was our SEC Pretty Campus Tour segment, which has now been labeled "I Was Wrong," because every week it's just a display of moments where I was incredibly wrong. Craig, will you do me a favor and introduce our guests? And while you bring them in, I'm going to go ahead and throw up what I think is a very appropriate example of how I was wrong yesterday. While you're introducing them, I'm gonna go ahead and get these graphics going.
I would like to welcome in from the Rebel Walk, Miss Evie Van Pelt and David Walker. They are two good friends of the show. David was with us earlier this summer. Miss Evie and I have been talking quite a bit offline, and we are so excited to be able to talk about not only the Ole Miss Rebels, but first, I think we have to start where we started yesterday at 11 a.m. Not noon, Rob. 11 a.m.
Get out of here.
We started at Kyle Field.
First of all, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so excited to have such an incredible conversation with you guys tonight. But I want to just let you guys know that around here, we're honest all the time. And at halftime yesterday, this was the score. Craig and I do a little writing for a website called Last Word on College Football. And the owner of the site, he sent a message in the middle of the game, and this was the message: Texas A&M upset alert, Gamecocks looking to run away, 3-possession game just 5 minutes into the second. Wow. To which I replied, "What can I say, Mike? This is Beamer in November." And as we know, friends, that did not end well for anybody in the Garnet and Black. Congratulations to Texas A&M. But before we get to all of that, let's start with Oxford, because we are excited about what's happening with Ole Miss. We have been on the Lane train for quite some time. I don't know how aware y'all are about our love for the Rebels, but we have been pumping that steam into the Lane train for not just this year, but we were really picking up some momentum to go to a playoff game in Oxford last year, and it didn't quite happen. Looks like maybe this year there's a pretty good shot, if not a bye week. So you tell us, what's your overall take on how the season's unfolding for the Rebels?
You take it. Well, first of all, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. I tell you what, it was quite a game, and you mentioned last year, and it was Florida that pretty much not. Well, the loss to Kentucky didn't help, but at the end of the season, if Ole Miss would have beaten Florida, they would have likely been in the college football playoffs, and so there was that going on, rematch. And then, of course, all the Lane Kiffin job rumors. I mean, Twitter's been crazy. Gator Twitter, Rebel Twitter, just back and forth. You know, we got him. No, we got him. So a lot going on yesterday. And fortunately, the Rebels pulled it out, 34-24.
Well, so, like, I think that's the interesting point, because I think you can look at that. You can look at the LSU game last year. I mean, the Ole Miss was winning that entire game until the big tight end caught the ball in overtime there to make that win. When you look at the game yesterday, it was 24-20 at halftime. It was frustrating, but, you know, watching that game, I had both the Ole Miss game up and Georgia game up. You never really felt like Ole Miss was out of it. It was just kind of like, you know, like pull your head out of your backside and like you just start to play, which I think they finally did kind of towards the end of the third quarter. What have you seen this year that it's not necessarily the sexiest of what, like, Ole Miss is doing, but they're showing that they can win ugly and they can win a little bit gritty? Is that Lane maturing? Is that this team maturing? You know, what are you equating that one to as you've seen it?
Well, I'll tell you what, looking at last year when they had four games that were one score games in the fourth quarter and they lost three of them. Compared to this year, they've had eight games that were one score games in the fourth quarter. Eight games this season alone, and they have won seven of those. So you're talking about a team that has been forged through fire. You know, if you're looking at a lot of the other teams out there that maybe ranked ahead of them in some ways, well, let's look at their schedules and see if they haven't just been part of blowouts, or have they had to put it on the line in 8 of 11 games so far, where the final score was in doubt into the fourth quarter. And even at Georgia, when they were at Athens, they went into the fourth quarter there with a 9-point lead. And that's the one of the eight that they lost.
I wasn't going to bring that one up. I was going to avoid this one. I want to stay friends with y'all. So
yeah. No.
So you're talking about, winning the other seven, and of the other seven, they had to come back yesterday against South Carolina. They were behind in the fourth quarter in that one.
Florida.
Against Florida. Yeah. I'm sorry. And at Oklahoma.
He had his Aggie hat on. That's okay.
Yeah.
At oh yeah. At Oklahoma, they were also behind. So, you know, they've had some tough games where they had to do everything right. You know, you're always putting up those four fingers when you go into the fourth quarter. Well, this is a team that has proven that they are fourth quarter ready. And I think that's what stands out for them this year, definitely over last year. They're a clutch football team, and that starts with the head coach.
Well, they and the players, I mean, it's interesting to me, like Caden Lee, who's a really strong returning receiver that Ole Miss has. He talked this week. We got a chance to interview him, and he talked about how last year when they went into Florida, I mean, again, it was like he didn't say we were too high on the hog, but that's kind of what it was. He said, you know, we just thought we were going to win, and they
13 point favorite.
Yeah, they got out hustled, out gritted, out, you know, everything. And he said this season, you know, we don't have that same mentality. And I don't know how you'd lose 8 NFL draft picks, which is what Ole Miss had in this draft, and in, you know, including their quarterback. And you know, they were picked, I think Vegas had them at 8.5 wins predicted for this year. And if they just have a lunch pail mentality, they just go to work and gut it out, and they really are good at blocking everything out.
To be fair, I did have them in our picks, in our preseason picks. I did have Ole Miss at 11-1. So I
wait a minute, Craig. Wow. Wait a minute. I was about to say
you and Iggy Ball.
We both had them at 11-1.
I don't want to give the Gamecock any credit, so you know.
In April, so we do a thing during spring ball where we pick the records of the teams, and we pick every single matchup. So we have a spreadsheet of every game that every SEC team plays, and then we go back and we see how right were we during spring practice. Because who really knows anything during spring practice, right?
Yeah.
But we both picked Ole Miss to be 11-1 and in the SEC championship game. So,
and you probably thought Austin Simmons was going to be the quarterback.
Absolutely, and we talked about him a lot.
Yeah. We did. We sure did. How'd you do with Auburn, Rod?
About the same as you did, Craig. We both had Auburn 9-3, but we're here to talk about moments that we got right for the moment. And we've already exposed all the cold takes. We'll get back to our Auburn predictions on another show.
I think
we have enough time with Brother Hugh.
I think the SEC writers, they were saying yesterday, and I don't recall because I wasn't at SEC media days with you guys, but I think they were saying Sellers was the first team all SEC quarterback in
preseason.
Yep. And
him and Nuss and everybody. And
Sellers was first team. Nussmeier was second team. It's been a weird year. Speaking of, you mentioned earlier about Lane Kiffin being a big piece of why this team is where it is. And obviously Florida has their opinions, especially their fans on Twitter. Welcome to any Florida fans who are watching, by the way, about where he may end up after this season. We've kind of planted our feet in concrete that we don't think he's going anywhere. What's the take in Oxford? How do you guys feel? Do you feel very confident about him being back coaching the Rebels next year? There's a lot kind of up in the air from a national standpoint. He definitely has his options and his suitors.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really in the Oxford area. I mean, it's been back and forth. I mean, I'd be lying if I said everybody was saying, oh, no, he's not going. I mean, there are a few people who thought that. But, you know, Florida folks seemed awfully confident. Their media seemed confident. You know, they were pretty strong in their confidence. And but honestly, I still have always held on to the fact that just the way he stayed in 2022 because his daughter was there and wanted him to stay was she was starting at Ole Miss. And now his son is the starting quarterback for Oxford High School, and they are in the 7A playoffs, and he's just a sophomore. I just have a hard time thinking that he would. And his brother's there. You know, Chris Kiffin is on the staff with his kids and his wife there. And I don't know. I still, something in my gut says I don't think he's leaving. I know what Ole Miss has offered him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the chancellor and the AD at Ole Miss are fantastic. I would put them up against anybody out there. There's not the dysfunction maybe going on in Baton Rouge or, you know, other places. And Lane talks about what good friends he is with Keith Carter and with Chancellor Boyce. And I just think, you know, everybody's in alignment. And I think pretty much he can write his own ticket there.
When people say things about firing everybody at other schools in the SEC, where it is very obviously there's high tension everywhere. And eventually, if you can't get the head coach, they want to go to the athletic director. And you mentioned Keith Carter, and I think that he's a great example of somebody who maybe doesn't come from a background that you would expect schools to hire and just to jump in and be so successful. But to his credit, it's been an incredible ride so far with Ole Miss. And I think that kind of – we had a segment last week talking about Joey McGuire, the head coach of Texas Tech, and how he came out of the high school ranks, and it's kind of reaching from a different bucket to get your head coaching success. I think the same can be said about Ole Miss's athletic director search there to bring him in. Obviously, one of their own, But a lot of schools are going to hire people with a lot more business acumen or background, or maybe even political or law or something along those lines, and not so much the basketball player that played for your school. So, and I think that it, you know, just speaks to everybody across this league. Let's say this: everybody just take a breath and be okay with the out of the box hire. Sometimes that's going to work. Everybody doesn't need Lane Kiffin. There's only one Lane Kiffin to go around, right? Right, and he needs to stay in Oxford.
And I'll just say before we talk a little Aggies, the way he was on the sidelines yesterday, that's a guy who is committed to his team. Because if he had one foot out the door, I don't think he would have been such as salty as he was, not only in the first half, but also towards the end of that game when they iced it. So, you know, I love everything about like what Kiffin has done, how he's transformed that culture. But you've really seen someone mature, and there's been that growth. You know, the Joey Freshwater from University of Tennessee seems like somebody long ago, right? And you see somebody who is more and more in that likeness of Saban. He's a little more, he does it a little bit differently, but the way he's running his program is pretty impressive.
It is. And, you know, speaking of Saban, I mean, one thing that I think has been made clear is that were anything to break, and if he was indeed going to go to Florida, he would not be coaching Ole Miss in the playoffs. The AD, they're not going for that. And so, you know, you leave. And I really can't see, it's like somebody said, would Nick Saban walk away from a number five team in the playoffs? And no, and neither would Kirby. And I don't think Lane would either.
I think Brian Kelly's the only one who's ever done that. Because I'm pretty sure Notre Dame was like 5 or 6 when he left to go to LSU. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I knew
that was before we expanded the playoff and, you know. We got to get one more shot at Brian Kelly because, you know, you never
know. Really UK, baby. That's right.
And I know LSU put together, you know, Lane has been at the top of everybody's list. And that's what's been, you know, just funny seeing that. But I understand it. But, you know, LSU, I think, put together, you know, a mighty big number. And I just think they're a little dysfunctional right now. I just don't think.
I think that's an understatement. But they are. They probably were the biggest threat in my mind to take somebody like Lane Kiffin, but the dysfunction continues to rise, and we'll just continue to believe that the situation in Oxford is too good to leave. And you really just said it. Now to College Station, I'll tee this up a little bit, and then I'm going to get out of the way and go continue to lick my wounds. But we look at the situation yesterday and with South Carolina and Texas A&M. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's a microcosm of what we've seen with the Texas A&M Aggies all year. And Craig really pointed this out off the air. And we talked about it time and time again. And David, I'll get your thoughts about the defense specifically. We've seen moments of brilliance, and then we've seen moments when they've kind of been lit up, and we've continued to reference back to the Notre Dame game. Over the course of the season, obviously Arkansas scored a lot of points. And then South Carolina for a half yesterday, although they had a defensive touchdown, was able to move the ball and find some success on offense. Do you think that this Texas A&M defense, does it give you confidence because of how well they've played at points in the season? Or does it kind of scare you because you never know which one you're going to get, especially as we get towards a matchup with Texas and then potentially Atlanta in the college football playoff?
We really don't talk about A&M much in this household. We don't. We are 100% focused on Ole Miss and 100% hoping and have faith in the people there in Oxford that they're going to get it done. And we spend very little energy on the Aggies, and that's the honest to God truth. Now, Evie's daddy is a third generation.
My dad is a third generation Aggie. I'm a fourth generation Aggie, and my son is fifth generation Aggie. But I will tell you to your question, I mean, sometimes that defense, I mean, what do they have? The number one defense on third down in the country. And, you know, which is something I particularly pay attention to, because that has been one thing that Ole Miss has struggled with, is third down. But yeah, I mean, they've looked really strong at times, and at other times yesterday, I mean, when they're all of a sudden behind 30-3, you're just like, where did you go?
That's not the number one defense in the country,
yeah,
right there.
So,
but to your point, I do have some observations that I've made about them, and they kind of relate to, you know, back in my day, whenever we first got the thing rolling at A&M, where the winning began, actually, you know, we, on a couple of occasions, had three true road games in a row. And in that third game, we were number five in the country twice. And we had gone to LSU, and we had beaten LSU. We went to Washington, beat Washington. And then we went to Lowly, Kansas, and lost that third straight road game. And my last year, we had five straight true road games in a row. Now, I'm telling you, you know, sometimes coaches these days, they talk about, oh, well, we got back-to-back road games, you know, and all this. And I'm thinking, man, that's easy pickings for somebody like us, because we had five. But our third game, we were number five in the country, and we went up to Michigan after going to Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, you know, both sides of the country, and then heading north to Michigan. And we lost that third one, had to come back and go to Baylor, and had to go to Rice. So anyway, five straight. So we were really looking forward to the next home game that we were about to have, and it was against SMU. SMU wasn't very good. And I happen to recall we were 17-point favorites against SMU that day. At halftime, after coming back home and getting our home crowd behind us and finally getting off the road, we're behind 21-7 against a team that couldn't. They shouldn't even be on the field with us. So when this happened yesterday, and it's 30-3, and I'm thinking 21-7, well, shoot. We didn't have the offense, really, to have any kind of comeback, because we didn't practice situational football. We didn't have a two-minute offense. We never discussed two-minute offense or hurry up or anything like that. This team could. And whenever they came out in the second half and took that game over, it was just really remarkable. And I remember seeing friends talking on Facebook, this is the proudest I've ever been of this A&M football program. And for guys like myself, who've been around it for 50 years, and of course, Evie's been around it a lot less than that, but still, it was remarkable that they did what they did and made that finish that game like they did. It was just incredible. Defense just shut them out the second half, much like Ole Miss did.
Late turnaround.
Had to. Second half shutout. It was just incredible.
You know, and here's the thing. I know that you said that you haven't paid too much attention to the Aggies, but obviously there's a lot of Aggie blood in your household. And obviously you're paying a lot of attention to the Rebels. Craig and I are wondering, number one, do you have your eyes set on New York City? Are we going up to cover the Heisman Trophy if you catch Trinidad Chambliss as a finalist up there? Maybe you get a bonus and Marcel Reed is there as well, and you kind of get a double dose.
If they were both there, yeah, I'm there. Yeah. I mean, I've been so impressed with Trinidad, and he's such a nice guy, and nothing phases him. And I think what has helped him is, you know, Austin's still really young, you know, and he graduated 2 years early, and he got his bachelor's degree at Ole Miss at age 19. He's a tremendous kid. Trinidad, I think, is 23 and just is very, very calm. And I think we've seen that out there.
And humble.
And humble, and they both are. They're both really good. But I tell you, one thing that I've noticed is they're close, and there's not, you know, a lot of times you can start, it can mess with your team chemistry. If you've got the guy you thought was going to be the starter, I mean, Austin sat behind Jackson Dart for 2 years, and this was really supposed to be his year. But he's a stand-up guy for the way that he's handling that.
And to also, I think A&M, coming off three straight road games and being flat in the first half, as I was saying, that's what I was sort of expecting. Because you just never know a about that situation until you're in it. Florida, in fact, you know, they've lost all five road games that they've had this year. And all five of those road games that they've lost were night games. And four of them were SEC games, and one of them was at Miami. You know, they've had a tough old schedule themselves. But it does take a toll.
I think so Billy Napier,
their coach couldn't survive it. Well, I think we're on the same page right there, Craig.
I think Billy Napier always forgot his playbook whenever he's on the road. Like he was tough as nails in the swamp, but like, you know, get him on the road and it's like, oh, forget it. They just lose it.
Yeah, I read a stat somewhere where they were showing the coaches that have been fired in the season, and all of them had, I mean, Brian Kelly and Napier and I think James Franklin, all of them had like a top five schedule, strength of schedule, you know. Yeah. And it's kind of like, and that's one thing Lane Kiffin has talked about. He said, you know, everything's great, but you know, we lose one game, you might drop, you know, you'll drop and lose a second, you drop out of the top 25 and you lose your third, you're gone. And he said, so I'm, you know, I'm not focusing on anything else, but you know, just
interesting point that you made there. It'll be a great fodder for me and Craig later, because we go back and forth about this strength of scheduling thing all the time. How many conference games should we play? How much should we stack the deck? What does it mean? We have Ms. Evie Van Pelt and David Walker here with us from the rebelwalk.com. Thank you guys so much for being here. And you know what? We'll send you a message and we'll give you a call. If we end up in Oxford for the first round, we'll come by and see you.
Oh, that would be awesome. We would love that. Oxford would be happy to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks so much for being here with us. Again, that's Ms. Evie Van Pelt and David Walker here on the Rebel from the Rebel Walk on SEC Sunday night. It is 8:40. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to break down what happened yesterday and get ready for It Just Means More. Genius.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team. When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Oh, man, the building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
This is SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. Incredible stuff from Miss Evie Van Pelt and from David Walker there from the Rebel Walk. Ole Miss is on a run, and they've given us a lot to talk about this year. But right now, Craig, we have some games from yesterday that we need to discuss. Obviously, I picked Texas. Once again,
I was wrong. How were your picks yesterday?
I was 5-3.
Oh, I was 7-1.
Okay, you were 7-1. Wow, yeah. Look at that. One to brag, I see, also.
Never.
We're not. You've abandoned the I was wrong segment for the gloating segment. You guys slide in my DMs if you want to sponsor the gloating segment for Craig.
Don't slide in my DMs, okay. Please. I don't want that.
My DMs are open. Slide in and let me know if you want to sponsor Craig's gloating segment. It's wide open out there. All right. So let's start with Sooners and Tide. Okay. So Sooner Magic is a thing, I guess, and we were able to see something happen from Brent Venables' team yesterday. Let me kick off with this, okay? There is a lot of panic about Alabama, which I think is ridiculous.
Yep.
Every single week, my phone is flooded with text about this team or that team. Oh, this team is so good. Oh, this team has fallen off. This team is the best team in the country. That team over there is elite. This team sucks. It just goes in every direction. And every week, different teams are highlighted. We have to stop overreacting every single time. I know this is a business and that we have a show to do here, and so we need people to talk, and this is great for us. Everybody's going nuts, and we're going to bring Casey in a minute. The boards are on fire.
Yep.
But there is no need for us to have this panic attack every single week. We've been able to – we got to stop overreacting, man. Like, just because Alabama lost to Oklahoma yesterday, we think that's the reason to hit the panic button. They're still a really good team who has a great shot at making a run in the playoff.
So, I'm going to put my AP Gov hat back on. And then for all you that don't know, I taught AP Gov in politics for 12 years at a local high school here in Detroit. And we used to have this reading where we talked about election results sometimes can be more provocative than they're profound, because like as we're looking at the ticker on election night, like we're trying to make a statement, like this is for sure, like what is going to happen. The Oklahoma Alabama game, more provocative than profound. Okay. Yes, Oklahoma won, but Alabama had 3 turnovers. We learned that Ty Simpson's going to have to be pretty good for them to be good. You look at total yardage, Bama had almost 450 total yards. Oklahoma had about 225. That John Mateer, Ben Arbuckle being like the savior of Oklahoma's offense, starting to worry about that, starting to question that, especially as they go to Mizzou. You're welcome, Maggie. And LSU to end the season. Bama, I think, is going to be okay. Are they perfect? No. But nobody is perfect. Yes, they stubbed their toe. They put themselves in a bad spot. But I think overall, Alabama still has themselves set up right. Now, it is kind of funny. They've got to end the season at Jordan-Hare. And I know that that place can be a little bit of a shop of horrors. But let's be honest. Auburn's a little bit of a hot mess right now. Look for that one. Probably be close. But for Alabama to get the win and get themselves back to the SEC championship game. Oh, you're on mute, Rob.
Producing.
That's
and
okay. Sue Bandel did the same thing today on the Audible.
All right, here we go. Okay, look, one thing I want to correct you on for our widely Southern audience, we understand that you are up there in Detroit, yep. But when you say that Jordan-Hare has been a house of horrors, we're going to need to put both syllables into that word, because that one, I was just going away on X live tweeting the show, and I heard that it had been the House of Horrors, and I don't think that's what you meant to say. So I just want to make sure that everybody heard it correctly, that that was a House of Horrors for Alabama going down to the plains of Auburn. Okay, so we're not panicking about Alabama. We think that we still got them in. Let's go here really quick. Some of these games can turn on a dime, right? Like a lot of teams have been in games late. You and I were having this conversation earlier about even South Carolina, who has been in many of these games as a 3-7 football team, one score games in the fourth quarter that have obviously not gone their way, which led us to talk about Texas and Georgia, because that was a game that was tight and it was getting kind of late. And to be honest with you, I was starting to think this is anybody's game. Somebody's going to snatch momentum here, and I'm starting to lean on maybe this is going to be Arch. And you're going to be right about the kid who has burst onto the scene. It took him a little longer than we thought, and here we are. My pick was going to be right. Your Arch prediction was going to be right. They were going to finally beat Georgia in Athens. But I was right about something.
Yeah.
The momentum was there for the snatching. And Kirby Smart onside kicked the football and absolutely ripped the rug out from under that game. And it snowballed quickly on Texas.
Yeah. And you said earlier that I'm all about bragging and I'm never wrong. Well, let me take this second to say, you know what? I was wrong. I was extremely critical of Mike Bobo. And I have been extremely critical of Mike Bobo. Mike Bobo has been in his bag in 2025. And sure, for like the second and third quarter, Georgia's offense didn't seem great. Gunnar Stockton throws his third pick of the year. Texas goes right down five plays later, makes it 14-10. But then Georgia just matriculates, meaning moving down the field, Rob. So don't try to like think about anything else about what I'm trying to say there. Georgia goes right down the field. They score again. But then Kirby Smart goes gangster. When Georgia went up 21-10 after Texas had scored their first touchdown, they went for it twice on fourth down. And Bobo was in his bag. He drew up some really nice plays in order to extend that drive to get it going. But then Kirby Smart onside kicks. And then Cash Jones, another guy. Shout out to my guy, John Tweet Sports, John Smith. We were talking about maybe Cash Jones shouldn't be that third down back. Maybe that should be a Nate Frazier or Bowens. But Cash Jones recovers the onside kick, and right there you saw Texas and you saw Sark absolutely get deflated because the route was on after that. Nine plays later, Georgia puts it in the end zone. Awesome moment when Lawson Lucky catches that touchdown, points up to his little brother and his mom in the stands. Really good moment. But Georgia is clicking. Injuries to CJ Allen make you nervous. Christian Miller kind of landed on his shoulder, on his face. He came back. He is fine. Injuries may be tough for the Dogs, but it literally just seems like they are a faceless team that is going to just keep coming at you and is going to be a rabid dog, and they're going to be an extremely tough out. So, you know, I'm really excited about what we're seeing for Georgia.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
On Georgia, and then I'll tee you up for the horns because sure. I did for the first time this year say hook 'em during the SEC Pretty Campus Tour segment. You just absolutely nailed it. They are clicking at the right time. And I said this week, you know, this is not a sport as much for me like basketball or even college baseball where you have to be hot at the end of the year, because in college football, you kind of have to be hot all year. Mm-hmm. And Miss Evie just said it. If you drop one, you're in trouble. You drop two, you're out of the top 25. You drop three, you might get fired in the SEC. So it's not a thing.
What if you drop seven?
Okay, we're going there. It's not a thing where you have to be hot and blah blah. Exactly, but they are picking up steam and momentum, and they've won enough to be in this position where they are projected in the top four now. I'll give it to you from Andy Staples here, friend of the show. Andy Staples, maybe I can say
friend
that.
Of the show. Friend of the show. Listen. He's taken some of my questions on my listener email.
All right, we'll
bag. He's a friend.
We'll
a friend of the show.
We'll bring Casey in, and then he can count as a friend of the show, right? Casey, I'm sure knows him personally from the esteemed Message Board Genius podcast. Here it is, Craig. Georgia's in at four. We're not moving. A&M. Alabama and Oregon matchup would be very interesting. Here's the big change. is that you got Texas Tech in that five slot now, so you don't have an Athens matchup for the G5.
Yep.
And Oklahoma in at seven in a matchup against Notre Dame. Very interesting. I love the Ole Miss Georgia Tech matchup. Let's go ahead and bring Casey in for our discussion here.
No, this is theoretical prediction. So Casey would, you know, has got to go on and say, no, I don't like any of this. I just need to know exactly what it is. No preseason stuff.
I love theoreticals and hypotheticals and all the eticals.
Hypothetical was the word I was missing.
He's here for eticals. All right. Any thoughts here, Craig? You mentioned Texas. We don't see them here in Andy Staples' bracketology prediction. Yep. What are your thoughts on the Horns coming out of that matchup with Georgia yesterday? Could be demoralizing the way it ended up. It looked competitive, and then it just slipped away. They still have Texas A&M on the schedule.
I still think they might get Texas A&M, but to me, they've truly ridden the roller coaster that Miss Evie was talking about. They've gone from number one to out of the top 25, back in the top 10. Now they're 17. I think it's safe to say Texas is probably going to be out. We're going to have enough 10-2 teams. We're going to have teams that are a little bit better. They're on the outside looking in. I think what Sark has to do, he's got to go look, and he's got to go say, hey, Jeff Banks, maybe let's get our special teams down, because there were a couple special team snafus yesterday. But he also has to get a running back. And I think Arch will be all set. I will say, yes, Arch only averaged about 5.8 yards per throw yesterday. He was under a lot of duress. But I think Arch has made the growth, and he's starting to make the plays that we were expecting earlier in the year. So I think he'll be all set. But I do think Texas Tech is probably going to sneak somewhere in that top four. I don't see Texas. I see probably a home game in College Station, though. For some reason, I feel like they're going to drop either the Texas game or the SEC championship game to Georgia or Alabama.
That gets really interesting for me, is what happens with Texas A&M. And to that point, let's go to that game yesterday before we get into the genius segment. And we've got I'm just telling you, incredible boards. It's going to be a fun way to close it out today. And yep. Hello to everybody that's listening. Welcome into SEC Sunday Night. If you're new to us, let me remind you, that there is an SEC Pretty giveaway. If you don't know Daily Joy, if you don't know the merchandise, there is an SEC Pretty hat in your school's colors. And we're also giving away a crew neck sweatshirt, which is going to be incredible. It's a great Christmas gift if you don't want to wear it yourself. But I think everybody, every single one of you, you know,
even Casey,
all the thousands of you, we've had 15, 20,000 people here every week. And all of you look SEC Pretty to me. And so I think you should enter to win. And the link is there. In the comments, it's there for you in the comments. I'll post it in there for you again. It's also the link in my bio. If you're watching on X, you can just go and grab that. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're in the comment section on X, then you can grab this link and I'll post it there now.
Okay. I have a quick question. So when we go to talk Texas A&M, I got a text message from a really good friend of mine yesterday during that game.
Yep.
And all it said was 30-3. Casey, you know who sent me that?
No.
It was weird.
I'm going to guess Palk?
No, it wasn't Palk.
Oh, it was me. It was me.
It was you. So here's my question, Rob. I'm gonna take the host reins from you. We've talked about Texas A&M. We know that there's questions. Don't get cocky, buddy. Shane is blaming a lot of people. He has fired a lot of people. Shane is 1-7 in the SEC. With games against Coastal and Clemson. Do we have Shane Beamer returning in 2026?
I think that we do. I think that, first of all, you can't mess around and lose these last two games. You definitely can't lose to Coastal, and you got to have – if they lose to Clemson, I think there is a scenario of ways that game could go down where – Shane Beamer would still be safe. If he wins both games against Coastal and Clemson, I would bet heavily that he will still return next year. Now, to your point, I've defended till my fingers are bleeding to the bone. And yesterday hurt. Yesterday hurt my argument. It's a tough look. It's a historic meltdown. I understand. I think there will be changes with this team. You can take that for what it's worth. You can interpret that however you want to, but we know this day
is
and age.
Is Lenore back?
That is up for debate as well. Shane Beamer kind of alluded to some very key players coming back in his post-game press conference. Lenore Sellers was asked about that as well, and it was kind of mum's the word. It was, you know, we've got these games ahead of us. I'll make decisions at the end of the year, and quote, I'll be here because I'm here right now, end quote. And so you kind of can see where his focus is, very, very PR answer from him. And to his credit, he's always like that. Okay, so he's very well spoken. He's very well put together. He knows what to say in those moments. He's not going to tip his hand and give you a clue which way he's going one way or the other. So, I think right now, yes. Now, if Shane Beamer loses both games to Coastal and to Clemson, call me back, Craig.
I think he's got to beat Clemson. If he doesn't beat Clemson, he'll be gone. So, I want to play a game. Would you take?
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to play this game, but we'll play it. We'll play it. You should have told me. I could have keyed up a nice little graphic.
Yeah. Would you take big game James Franklin over Shane Beamer?
No. And here's why. Because I think that they both I think they're similar in terms of results. Mm-hmm. Obviously when you're at Penn State and you're in the Big Ten, you're playing with a little different deck than you're playing with the South Carolina and the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they would deliver similar results. I think the difference is that James Franklin would view South Carolina as a springboard to get back up to a different level where he viewed himself at Penn State. Mm-hmm. Whereas I actually believe that Shane Beamer truly wants to be in Columbia, South Carolina. I think that he saw what his father did at Virginia Tech. And he wants to go somewhere else and leave his mark and have a career stop somewhere. It's not a stepping stone for him. He wants to find success, do things for the first time, as Steve Spurrier once famously said about Columbia, we want to do things nobody's ever done around here. I think that is what Shane Beamer is setting out to do. And prior to this year, he has dominated the month of November. 6-0 against ranked teams in his first 4 years at South Carolina in the month of November. Now 0-2 in 2025 against ranked teams. But again, you saw how that 0-2 came, a game against Ole Miss on November 1st, where the Gamecocks were at least competitive. And then yesterday, obviously, had every opportunity to win the football game. There's no moral victories in either of those. I'm not advocating for that by any stretch of the imagination. But I am saying that at the end of the year, Shane Beamer has found a way to get his teams playing well. And so reason to believe these last two games that they'll continue to play well. However, the bigger question for me is what's happening in those first six games. Yep. Why does it take the first half of the year to get things clicking? And then you see the talent come together that preseason, you're like, yeah, this is why this team should be in the top 15, top 20. Because you can look at the talent on the field. It's discombobulated until about midway through, and then something starts to click. And in this case, it was because changes were made.
Yeah, I was going to be a smart ass and ask you about Ed Orgeron, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to give you one more name.
Okay.
Bob Chesney, James Madison University. Do you want to be Indiana 2.0, or do you want to go to next year's cycle?
This is an incredible, incredible segue, and you didn't even do it on purpose, but it's just going to lead us right into the boards because I've seen Bob Chesney's name on the South Carolina message boards a fair amount.
We work so well together.
I'm not rolling the dice on James Madison producing two in a row, so I'm going to stick with Shane Beamer. I'm a Shane Beamer apologist, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I got to do here.
Future I was wrong segment, everybody. Rob,
yeah, I know. I see your three over there, Casey.
Yeah, it wasn't Cignetti wasn't first there. But.
Who was first?
Yes.
Who was first before Cignetti?
Absolutely, all day. Cignetti?
Cignetti was first. Who's second? What was the three?
No, it wasn't the guy who won the national championship. That wasn't Cignetti?
This is good radio right here.
I'm probably wrong, but
we're going to find a producer who can figure that out at some point for us. All right, it just means more genius. Let's get into some message boards. We've got everything tonight, guys. We've got message boards. We've got Reddit. We've got random Twitter things. Let's go with Peter Burns first. Oh, wait, I didn't mean to click on that one. We're done talking about this game, right?
It's great because I know Craig was talking about Mike Bobo before being in his bag. MBG's been in his bag all weekend long. It's been a heck of a run for MBG and at Board Geniuses. But Peter Burns says, since 2004, teams down 27-plus in SEC games were 0 and 286. Aggies have scored 28 in a row to take the lead, and thus we know that they won the game on South Carolina going into the fourth. Yikes.
So is this the vote of confidence to go to 2026? Is this what we're looking at?
Yep. Okay. Well, I think we've had enough of that conversation, to be honest with you.
Correct answer is Mickey Matthews, by the way. Mickey Matthews.
Thank you.
If you'd like some help here, Reddit College Football has some help for you and your dogs, Craig.
Yeah, this is a good one. I like this one a lot. That T437. Wow. Yeah. living up to my name here. Produces on Reddit says trade offer. Oklahoma receives tips on how to beat Texas. UGA receives tips on how to beat Alabama. And then Oblivion Guard 19 says, I'll gladly accept that offer.
Any day of the week.
Before yesterday started, I thought UGA-Alabama collision course in the SEC championship, and I think that changed a little bit yesterday.
Yeah. It's weird. What I do love about it is it's all going to come down to, like, week 14. Like, everything comes down to the last week of the season for all that stuff, all the tiebreakers. But, yeah, I'll take any day of the week. Basically, just show up and play and don't
chill. Parody, Craig. Parody.
Well, we can't do anything now. Until the end of the year, because after Texas A&M won the game, do we have that in here somewhere?
You're the man.
I want to learn from you, Rob.
Look at us.
At SEC Chuck Dunlap says, with the Texas A&M victory over South Carolina, no one can clinch a spot in the SEC championship game until the final weekend of games, November 28th and November 29th. Lost in that tweet, though, is because South Carolina's playing Coastal, Alabama's playing Mercer,
Georgia's playing
Directional University of Indiana. I mean, that's why this is – it's a cool stat, but peel back the curtain a little bit.
Well, but let's also peel back the curtain in that the fact that the games aren't November 27th, 28th, and 29th because the Egg Bowl should be Thanksgiving night and not Black Friday.
Right.
Is it still Black Friday, by the way? Like, or has like Amazon totally ruined that?
Why has it got to be Black Friday? I mean, it's fun. It's exciting.
I don't know. Like, it's a shopping day.
Shopping.
Yeah, it's not a day of mourning. I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so let's move on to see what else we got here. I'll give you one last shot because you guys put this in the bucket.
There's no you guys here, Rob. Remember that, okay? And as much as I'm reveling in it, I'm not. I didn't do this. This was your
count. That was all MBG. MBG sent us this and said that this has to go out Sunday night. we are his beta for the show of the week. We put the balloon in the air.
JT Smith 1 says, going to be honest, we've got to get out of the SEC. It's the best conference in all sports, but we are just not going to be competitive in this conference year in and year out. Maybe one out of every 10 years. Bite the bullet, swallow the pride, move to a different conference. O will win and have a good record every year. There's a lot of upvotes here, Rob. Or is that laughing emojis? It's one of the two.
Are you going Fun Belt or are you going to go Conference USA, Rob? Which one are you picking?
I'm not going anywhere. Do you see the banner? Hold on. Hold on a second. Let me just take this down. And let me get us out of the way.
I still don't see,
you
the,
see the banner above our heads.
5 minutes later, I do.
Do you see the banner above our heads? I'm sorry that I'm multitasking. Do you see the banner above our heads? It says SEC Sunday night. Do we believe that there's anywhere that you should be other than the SEC?
If I was Wofford
and had a chance to get into the SEC, then I'm going, even if I'm going to get destroyed every week.
Do you think Swanee, Tulane, and Georgia Tech left?
In what year, Craig? You're Mr. History Teacher. Why don't you inform us? Yep,
more radio
as we search for things on the Google. All right, let's move on to the next thing from MBG here, and let's keep the color scheme, but we'll go to Bama.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer is just a small notch above Mike Shula, according to MBG. Mark my words, we will never win, Bama Jammer says. Anything of significance with Kalen DeBoer as our coach. I have watched Alabama football for over 45 years, and I have been through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of coaches. He ain't it. He's just a small notch above Mike Shula. He will win some games, but he will never win a big one. He doesn't have the killer mentality, the step on your throat and we have you down mentality. Nice guy, but nice guys finish last. Is it all over? Is the sky falling in Tuscaloosa?
Apparently it's done. Apparently this guy's done.
Is there toaster baths for all?
Toaster baths for all. It sounds rough, doesn't it?
This guy needs a hug.
The guy needs a hug. He does need a hug. Maybe, do you think he was a nice guy who finished last? Do you think he didn't get the girl?
Definitely. I mean,
he's got two losses, right? He's still on the mix for the playoff.
Yeah. He's got I believe he was hosting Oregon first round, according to our good friend of the show, Andy Staples.
Friend of the show, Andy Staples. Bracketology gives us Alabama versus Oregon.
Question for you, Casey. If Andy answered a couple of my email bag questions on his show and then you had him on your show, that technically makes him a friend of the show, doesn't it? I mean, basically, like, we're BFFs.
Yeah, it's 6 degrees of separation. Yeah, we're on a first name basis.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, you guys were Florida man together, so.
Yeah. That's a great point, Maggie.
Maggie, welcome back to the top 25, by the way. Can't wait for you to knock off Oklahoma next week.
Confirmed friend of the show, Maggie Johnson, says Bama fans would never survive being fans of quote-unquote regular teams.
I liked her last comment. I'm just saying, the one she put up before.
Oh, this one. This one's good, too. She also said Casey is the most SEC pretty every Sunday night. Yeah, just a reminder, we do have the SEC pretty giveaway going on. We got a link there for you in the comments. It's also the link in my bio. And if you want to scroll back to the video with Joy at the beginning of the show, you can grab the QR code.
Just buy it. Buy a hat. Buy a hat, even if you don't win.
Hey, I told everybody that. You should enter and you should buy a hat. Because what you need is two hats. I have the natural hat. It's the one that goes with everything. It's not anybody's colors. And then you need to go get yourself. No, I'm an SEC fan. Can you get with the program? Do you understand the show that we're hosting and operating right now? League.
I think you're just being nice by inviting me back every week. I really don't. I don't know what
for
I
the league, Craig. Are you kidding me? Let's go outside the league for a minute, Casey. This one's for you.
Wait, I thought we were the SEC. Why are we talking about the ACC?
It is really pretty fun though, Craig. If we're being honest, this ACC conference race is so great. Constant madness, says Pat Narduzzi. We don't have to win today, Pitt. We got you, Coach. As they got absolutely boat raced by Notre Dame.
Just hammered.
And that's what Narduzzi said. For those that don't know, he was quoted in his press conference saying, we could lose by 100 this week. The only important games are the next two.
Automatic genius of the week? I mean, it's got to be, right?
Got to be
up there. It's got to be nominated.
Can we let MBG?
I don't like to win those, though. So.
Can we let MBG nominate him?
I don't know. I think he's already got one in the hopper.
Well, we know that probably Emily will probably tell who's that one because, Who's can't make a decision without
him? Can I make a nomination? Can I make a Genius of the Week nomination?
Yes.
Shane Beamer?
No. Maggie says the natural SEC pretty hat is kind of Mizzou colors. No, it's not. It is absolutely not. If it's anything, it's Vanderbilt colors. Get out of here. By the way, lost in this entire show, we have not mentioned Nashville and Diego Pavia, and they're still coming, Craig. They still have a shot at the college football playoff. No, should we count the teams?
No.
Let's go back. Let's go back and count the teams really quickly. Right. Let's bring this back up from friend of the show, Andy Staples. We've established at this point, Georgia and Texas A&M make 1 and 2. Then we go to number 6, Ole Miss, 3. Number 7, Oklahoma is 4. Number 8, Alabama is 5. SEC teams currently in the picture. What does it take?
Why are you saying so many numbers? I was so confused what you were trying to
math.
Do.
What does it take to get those 5 and Vanderbilt giving us 6 SEC teams in the field?
Vanderbilt's not going in. I'll have Maggie text you and tell you all the reasons why, but no. Vanderbilt's done. Tennessee is done. Texas is done. It is 5. That is the choice. It's 5. 5.
All right. Casey, we have a question for you here.
Yeah.
Throw this up here for you.
Yeah, my buddy Houston Burnett, one of the best in the business. So does Casey being on tonight confirm Clemson to the S? Houston, if you just add confirmed at the end of any statement, you can believe it. So Clemson to the SEC confirmed.
Mr. Carl, there you go. Confirmed.
Reporting live. All right, we got one more board. Tonight we had Ms. Evie from the Rebel Walk. We had David Walker here to talk. The incredible guest. I want to say thank you to them. Thank you to Joy as well. Casey, take us home. And we've been talking about the Rebels all night. And here you go. This is the greatest. This is just fantastic.
Ole Miss should fire Lane Kiffin before he can leave on his own, according to STRDB. That's a lot without vowels. Don't give him the satisfaction of leaving on his own terms. Fire Kiffin. Fire everybody, Rob.
Is this not the most – this is the craziest one that I've seen in a few weeks. We've had some fire everybodies that we've been able to feature. We had fire the president. We had fire – we had some major firings, okay? We're calling the fire department to get people fired around here. Fire Lane Kiffin before he gets a chance to is one of the most let's highlight the passion of SEC fans takes more than I've ever seen anything else. Craig, what you got?
What do we think the original post was? Because we can see in gray there it says this post was edited by STRDB 44 seconds ago. Like, he doesn't have punctuation. Like, what else do you think? He
was fired up coming to the boards. He was fired up with a mission.
Here's my actual prediction from a typo autocorrect standpoint. I bet the word don't was autocorrected to the word done.
Oh, yeah. Happens to me.
That's my guess.
Don't give him the satisfaction.
Happens often.
I kind of like that, though. Don't give him the satisfaction.
That's your feeble attempt at a Southern accent, which is better than you saying that Alabama was heading into a house of horrors earlier. Okay. I think that's enough fun for us.
My ears perked up for that, Rob. I was awake. I was awoken by that.
Also, Case, speaking of ears perking up, the MBG pod went live last week, and we had a ton of fun jumping in and in the comment section. I know I did. Craig's comments were a little too frequent for me, but if we could filter him out next time, I think I would enjoy the show a lot more. But regardless, fantastic show. I love when you guys are going live, and the graphic was phenomenal.
Yep. Can I give a shout out to Tony Vitello for the San Francisco shirt? I really appreciate that. Go Giants.
All right. That's it. We're done. We'll see you guys next week. This has been SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. Hello to so many new friends tonight. Thank you for being here. SEC Pretty Giveaway is running all month of November. Make sure that you grab that link. And we'll be back next Sunday night to break down. All right. We'll see you next time on SEC Sunday Night.